Blog Talk Radio.
Present to fellowship one among another on your holy Sabbath day. Heavenly Father, we ask that your grace and your mercy continue to be extended to each and every one of us, and that you forgive us for our sins that we've committed against you. We also pray, Heavenly Father, for strength by your Spirit, that we may all continue in your word. Heavenly Father, for those who are on route, for those who are unable to make it today, those who are gathered together in honor of your holy Sabbath day, may you shower each and every one of us, Heavenly Father, with the blessing from on high, uplifting our hearts and our minds that we may all receive your word as delivered by your teachers throughout the four corners of this world. Lead and guide us all, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, that we may function according to your divine will. In the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, we pray. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses HaTorah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Kol Shiva. All right, family, how is everybody doing? All right. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. And I think sometimes things happen according to the divine will of the Most High, you know. In Matthew, that's where we were last week, chapter 26. And we were down in verse 36, Matthew 26:36. I'm just read that down, and we're going to touch on some things that was brought to my attention last week, which were some really valid points. So, Matthew 26:36. Then cometh Yahushua and saith unto the Talmudim, or the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the Talmudim, the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Kepha, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray. And that's where we were last week. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Indeed, is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, with that, the point of going to that first was to emphasize how important it is for us as individuals to watch. That means to be observant, okay, when you look up the term itself, to keep awake, okay, as an individual walking in the ways of the Most High. That responsibility falls to me in regard to my life first and foremost, okay? Now, as a result of that, and watching, and it also says to pray, to maintain communication with the Creator. That's what that's simply saying, all right? Now, in watching and making sure that, let's continue, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. What is he talking about now with the temptation? He's talking about something that is going to persuade you, okay, to go contrary to the Most High. Now, one of the things that we've been looking at, when you go back to another talk that the Messiah had with the disciples, he tells them, he says, and this is in regard to the Pharisee and the who was eating without washing hands and things like that. The tradition of the elders is what he referred to it as. But one of the points that he wanted to make, he said, it's not what goes into the body, fouls you. It's what comes out. In other words, what he's establishing by saying that, let's say, I'm going to find that. I'm going to read that and tie it into what we're going to talk about today. All right, let's see here. All right, looking at Mark chapter 7. All right. Let's start at verse 18, Mark 7, 18. And what we're going to do, we're going to tie this into what we're talking about as far as the watching and the praying. And why he said to do that is so that we are not. And he says unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Let's back up. Let's go to verse 17. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his Talmudim asked him concerning the parable. So now here we go. We have another situation. The Messiah's talking. They get alone. What are you talking about? Because they want to understand it. So then he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Now, when he asks a question like that, does that sound condescending? Kind of, sort of, right?
Sounds surprised.
But the, now, as the Bible students, we got a question. Why did he ask them that?
Around them so much, he was... He had an expectation for them, like y'all don't get this. I'm teaching y'all, I'm showing y'all, and it's like y'all not getting it.
Okay. Part of the reason is because he's been with them and he's been showing them things, but it's still not clicking for them. Another thing, even in his question, he's asking, see, up to the point that I came on the scene, y'all were being taught. All that you were being taught was for nothing. Because you weren't being taught the correct doctrine, the true doctrine. So he's asking questions also to get them to think, are ye so without understanding also? I mean, that's like he told you the thing. These are things y'all supposed to know. You mean to tell me y'all grew up in this way of life and y'all still don't know what I'm talking about? And he's showing how damaging the doctrine that was circulating around that time was in that question. He said, do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man cannot defile him? Sometimes people go there and they try to justify the eating of the unclean food. He is not talking about eating unclean food right now. He's talking about eating with unwashed hands right now. That's what he's talking about. Not eating unclean food. They weren't eating swine. They weren't eating shellfish or any other such. They ate without washing their hands, and there's a tradition of the elders that prohibits that. This is what he's addressing, okay? So whatever you eat, it's not going to defile you. He says, because it entereth not into his heart. See, he's trying to make the point and get them to see beyond just the physical. A man is defiled when the heart is defiled, is what he's saying. He says, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meat. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. In other words, y'all so focused on making sure everything on the outside is clean. That's why he said to the Pharisees, y'all like nice and pristine tombstones. That's basically what he said to them. Tombstone. You got the fresh white paint on, and looking nice and shiny and glowing, you know, and things like that. But the point he making, all of these things y'all doing just to beautify the flesh so that people see you and they think a certain thing about you. The traitor don't care about that. He's more concerned about what's happening on the inside. So he says again, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. That's where it starts at. So now, the temptation. Watch and pray so that we're not led into temptation. The adversary, who we've been discussing, he has set up a system, a world system, designed for that very purpose, to tempt us. And all of these things that's already there. So adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. In other words, these are the things that you need to be watchful for, okay? Because, again, this system is designed to nurture that, to cultivate that. So if there be some lust that you had, best believe that the adversary is going to bring that object in front of you at some point. Watch. Stay awake. Be mindful of that, first and foremost, for yourself, okay? Now, the point that was mentioned last week, what about the watchman? That's the question that was asked. What about the watchman? So does that imply now, when he says to watch and pray, that, well, he's not just talking about for yourself, he's talking about, you know, for other people. First and foremost, even when it comes to the watchman, it can be Ezekiel, it can be Jeremiah, it can be Isaiah, or any other prophet. Each individual in the personal walk, in the personal relationship, has the responsibility of watching for themselves and praying for themselves, maintaining that relationship, making sure that they're not caught up in the snares and the traps that the adversary set. But when it comes to the men that he has chosen and given that position to, they have an added responsibility. Not only do you have to watch for yourself, now you have to become a watchman for the nation, for the people. That's what you're supposed to do. So think about it. Something pops up, and this is what people got to understand. When an issue arises and it's brought to any of our attention, our responsibility is to do what? To protect the flock. You can compare a watchman to being like a shepherd. The responsibility of the great shepherd, see, and this is the thing that people got to really, really see, the order. And this is what the Creator is really trying to establish in the hearts and the minds of this people, okay? There is an order to how things are supposed to be. So he sets up this whole Kohanim, okay? He sets this up for a reason. They have responsibility. When you go back, let's look at this way. Let's go to I am looking for. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 11. I know that it says something there. Abba, lead us and guide us. Okay. Now, in Leviticus chapter 11, let's go down to the bottom. Now, give me a second. Give me a second. All right, folks, we still here. If you're if you're listening online, I'm looking something up right now. Okay. Okay, let's go to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 11. One of the things it says here, it says, and he's talking to the priest. We're going to start at verse 8. And Yahweh spake unto Aharon, saying, now let's start right there. Aharon, this is the high priest. He's starting something. He's starting a particular order. You look up the name Aharon, what it means, the bringer of light. So when he's establishing the priesthood and he's using this man, the idea behind the entire priesthood, not to mention the fact that he's from the tribe of Lewi, which means to be joined to. So that's another important characteristic of the priest. They come from Lewi because they are joined to, connected to the Creator. They come from the line specifically of Aharon because they are considered to be the bringers of the light. And Yahweh spake unto Aharon, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee. When ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference. The Kohanim have the responsibility of putting a difference between what is holy, what is unholy. See, this is comparable to what a watchman does. They teach about what's holy and what's unholy because when the people get the teaching, now what the people are supposed to do with the teaching, now you live your life according to these teachings. Okay? We don't come here gathering together just to hear a bunch of stories and a bunch of narratives and just sit around afterwards and talk about them just to make conversation. All of this is to teach us. We're supposed to take this with us, and we live after we leave service. We come here, get the instruction, get the direction that we need, we leave, and now we start living according to what we learn. That's the way it's supposed to be. So again, that ye may teach the sons of Israel all the statutes. Let me go back up, verse 10. And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy and between unclean and clean. Okay? And that ye may teach the sons of Israel all the statutes which Yahweh hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moshe. Responsibility of the Kohanim, which ties into what the responsibility of the shepherd is. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd maintains protection of the flock. So he gave one parable, and we were talking about that. I think it was last week the brother was mentioning it. You got 100 sheep. One of those sheep get away. You leave the 99 sheep to go get the one sheep, okay? Because the one sheep is out there all alone by himself. This is what the shepherd does. He's watching. That's why, again, not only is the staff a symbol of leadership, the staff can also be used as a weapon. Okay? It can be used as a weapon. Same as the word. See, when we understand the word, when we get into the armor, all these different pieces that Brother Shaul named, it's just one thing that does everything. It's his word. It's his word that's the sword. It's his word that's the shield. It's his word that's the breastplate. All these things, it's his word we shod our feet with. It's his word. So we got to come to understand. To be fully armed simply means that you're fully faithful in the word of Yah. That's what that is. Okay? So as a priest or Kohanim, as a shepherd whose responsibility is to maintain the safety of the flock, as a watchman, individually, you have to watch and make sure what kind of watchman you're going to be. If you ain't even making sure your life right, what kind of watchman you going to be? That means you got to be on point. Take a job, right? Whatever type of job you have, it doesn't make a difference. If you slacken in the responsibilities at your job, whatever it may be, why do you think they're going to give you more responsibility? You may be on the brink of losing that job. So when it comes to doing this watchman, that means you got to be on point watching over your own life, making sure your own house is in order first. Then the greater responsibility, you see, of making sure everything is right with Israel. Now, as that watchman, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 33. As that watchman, see, what are we watching for? One thing, as being the overseer of a congregation and being a watchman as well, we have to pay attention to who comes through those doors. There was an incident that happened years ago. I'm not certain whether or not the sisters know about it, but I'm not even maybe Brother Yala was there. I don't know, because I mean it was a while ago. But there was an incident. One of the brothers, can't remember which brother, bought. Matter of fact, Brother Yala was there. They brought this guy into to service. This was after, he didn't come like sit in service. This was after service. You know, we got the zeal. We hey, be out there talking to people. Come on, why don't you go? And first thing people want to do, come on, let's go meet the rabbi. So they bring this guy in. And the guy, he's in the back, in the kitchen part, behind the sanctuary and everything. So we sitting down there talking and things like that. And he conversing with rabbi. And I cannot remember exactly what was said as far as what the brother, that there was it wasn't a major thing. It was a minor disagreement about something that rabbi was telling to this person. And then the guy, he kind of motioned, man, go, why don't you go get my gun? And then we all like, you know, we ready, right? But after the conversation went left, we just, you know, hey, escorted the brother out, you know, XYZ. But after the fact, rabbi talked to us about that. And one of the things that he said, we have to be mindful of who we're bringing back there in his presence. Were you there when that happened? Okay, so you weren't there. But this was after service. Maybe Brother Ahabal was there. I'm not certain. But I know that this was an incident that took place. And afterwards, we heard the word from the leader at that time. We got to be mindful of who come in those doors. Because even though that at the time the brother didn't have anything, you don't know what's going to happen. Now, I'm not saying this or saying that we all got to be paranoid, but we got to be watchful. We got to be alert. You know, that's why I said stay awake. So one of the things that you do not want to be doing up in here is sleep. How are you going to be watching who comes in the door if you're not falling asleep? How are you going to be any type of security guard if you can't even stay awake? But not only physically staying woke, spiritually now staying awake. Because sometimes if our mind is drifting and we're not hearing him, give us the warning. Because, see, this is what he's going to do as the watchman. Let's look at a few things. He says in verse 1, Ezekiel 33, again, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, son of man, speak to the sons of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. Anybody watch Game of Thrones? It's one of my favorite shows. Can't wait for next year. But anyway, the way that their cities are, and that's a good example, their cities, let's imagine where we live at will be considered like in like the rural part. The city area is where all the action takes place. You know, you think about the city. If you have a ride and then you see the city line, that part would be considered the city. You have people who lived outside the city walls and things like that. But that's the city. That's where you had your row houses at. You know, even back during that time, you got these buildings and people lived together like that. But anyway, but what they had this big gate. The only way you're getting in that city, you got this big gate you got to come through. Everything is just kind of open right now. It's not like it was back in those days. But at that big gate, you had posts, and you had areas where people can walk and things like that. And their responsibility, they were the watchmen. They were the guard. And because you're up so high and you can see from a distance, you can see somebody miles away and say, somebody's coming. You can sound the alarm and everybody get ready. That's the watchman. What the Creator is showing us, he's going to let us see things from afar. It's the watchman responsibility now to let the people know, get ready, something's coming. And what people, and this is where the people falter. It didn't happen the next day. It didn't happen the next week. It may not even happen the next month, but it's coming. See, Israel had that problem. You see, he's telling you something's coming, something's going to happen, but if you don't want it to happen, these are some things you got to do. But just, you know, Israel's like the story of the boy that cried wolf in reverse, so to speak. You know, here's the prophet telling them the truth, But they like, oh, man, get out of here. Ain't nothing happening. Because at the same time, you got the prophet of the Most High saying, beware if something's on its way. You got the other false prophets who's speaking the lies and the deceit and the smooth things saying, man, he don't know what he's talking about. Abba going to bless us, this, that, and the other. So they'd rather listen to this one who called himself a prophet rather than listen to the true prophet. But nevertheless, this is what they say. Again, he says, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn people. See? Now let's kind of narrow it down again. Take our little group. We want to be mindful of who comes in here. You know, there was a situation that happened some time ago. I don't know how many of you remember it, but there was a brother who came and visited. Brother was very vocal, you know. Number one, when you're visiting a place, you're kind of showing your hand when you do that. Very vocal, you know. Like, I would never visit a place and just want to be talking all the time. You see, that gave you a sign of what this brother was about. So then at some point during this class, he made a statement that was wrong. And the watchman picked up on that statement and corrected it. And the brother haven't been back since. The brother haven't been back since that happened. You see, he came, I think, one time, but it's like right after this portion ended, he came in. And when I let him know that it was ended, he left right back out and went somewhere else. But and he haven't come back. But these are the things that people have to be mindful of. So when people bring certain things into the household, the watchman responsibility is to let the people know something's wrong with this. Correct that. But now here's the question. Where does patience play a part in that? Because, see, when it comes to the word, one of the things that we don't want to do, we don't want to key on certain parts of the word to, you know, negate everything else that's said. We have to have a healthy balance of the word. And I believe when it comes to the word of Yah, that we want to have that balance. We don't want to just be all about grace, mercy, compassion, and patience. So then you're just letting everything come on in and everything go on, and you're not, so, oh, just be patient with them. They got to learn. Because you don't know, see, this person bringing this bacteria, and if he stays long enough, then that bacteria is going to spread. And somebody who may not have been seeing things a certain way may start seeing things the way they see it. So now they've been contaminated. So now that they contaminated, what's going to happen to their household? Families have left because of the contamination of one individual. And we can go way back to 847 Colleton Avenue. For those who've been here that long, you've seen families come. And you've seen families leave because one person may have had an issue. They were contaminated. And the whole family now is lost as a result of that one person. So that was patience. See, but here's what we also got to see. Abba loved his people. Think about it. Here you got a man. In our mind, we read the story. And so some people that may read it outside of this way of life, you read the story. All this man was doing was outside picking up some sticks. I mean, what's wrong with that? It's such a minor thing for somebody to do. You go outside, you pick up some sticks because you're trying to start a fire, whatever you're trying to do, okay? Build a house, whatever. We don't know. All we know is that the Creator said, don't do any work on that day, and this dude took it upon himself and said, man, forget that. I got to do what I got. Moshe didn't even know what to do with the man, so they put him in war. They had to consult, Father, what? This man was out here doing work. You said not to do no work. What are we supposed to do with him? What Abba say? Be patient with him. Be compassionate. You see? That's okay. Let him go. Okay? He's got to learn. You know? I know you're just getting this word. You know, y'all got to learn these things. So just let the brother go back home and just emphasize very firmly that he's not supposed to do this thing again. Well, we laughing because we know that ain't what he said. He said, kill him. Right. He said, stone him. He didn't don't want that to spread. He want to make it known. When I say don't do anything on this day, I meant what I said. So you think anybody, I don't think we read in the story that anybody else died of it. He set an example. But here's where the compassion was to the rest of the people. I don't want everybody getting caught up in that. Go ahead, Aki.
I think that's where James comes in,
mm-hmm.
when he made his decision.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, about the whole circumcision, hold up, put these four things, tell them to stop these four things immediately,
right.
And then the rest they'll get as they come along.
Exactly. You know? So now we got to the point, and I'm told out of a bar for that piece of knowledge and that information. You know? Now we got we have a standard. So when people come through, and even with that, one day, most high willing, maybe one of the brothers bring it up, because you can break these four things down to get it to a better understanding of what he's saying. You know, for example, let's just take one, fornication, right? Now, fornication is a major issue. If that's one of the four things he said, I mean, y'all, look, these new people, they just learning these ways, but as far as worshiping and fellowship with us, these are four things they have to stop doing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And one of those four things was fornication. You can't be running around, sleeping around, and then coming up in here and fellowshipping with the saints when you got that on you. You can't be that way. But now, why is that such a harsh, why is that the deal breaker? See, and when you think about fornication, see, it's not just about, you know, people running around having these intimate relations outside of marriage. Okay? It also ties into alternative lifestyle. The whole lifestyle, it portrays fornication. So you can't come up in here, and even if you're married as a man and married to a man or a woman married to a woman, you can't come up in here because that's fornication. That is an illicit relationship. You can't be up in here and still maintain that lifestyle. No, you can't. That's something that needs to stop immediately. You see? That's what he's talking about. So when he just say the fornication thing, we got to understand what is included in that. If you got an issue, okay, with that, then you need to find somewhere else to worship, because it won't be among the saints. See, as the watchman, and getting back to the point, all we're supposed to do, like he says here, he says to let the people know. He says, if verse 3, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet. Now that ties right back to what he told to Isaiah. He said to lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Now we're making some comparisons. We're seeing in a place where the Creator, he is using the analogy of a trumpet with the voice. So when he says to blow the trumpet, that doesn't mean somebody, you see something and you actually lift up the shofar and start blowing it. No, lift up your voice now like a trumpet. Okay? He says, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and take him away, his blood is going to be on his own head. You were warned. The watchman did his job. He's not responsible for that. Okay? But this is where it gets serious, though, fellas and sisters. He said, verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood should be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. And even when you hear that, taken away in his iniquity, that means he was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. Right? But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. You responsible, because you didn't lift up your voice like a trumpet and let the people know. That's what he's saying. So when we see things, when we hear things, the first responsibility as leaders of a congregation, you got to let the people know something's coming, you know. We had a discussion last night, and I just want to clarify if there be any other questions out there why certain things are being mentioned. Now, throughout the course of the week, I may not send out a group text to everybody, but the brothers, we communicate, you know, via text and things like that. You know, we send out little videos and stuff like that to one another to check out. And I was watching a video. It was an interview with D.L. Hughley and the lady on his show. I can't remember her name right now. I think it may be Simone or something like that. But they were at the Breakfast Club and they were talking. If you ever heard, anybody ever heard D.L. Hughley speak? He's a very conscious person, you know. So a lot of stuff that he says is actually pretty good. And his whole idea about that the male-female relationship is actually on point, how he sees that, you know. He believes in the whole headship thing, which is good. But there was something that was said, and this was by one of the other cats on the show, and one of the things that he said was, before I even mention that, let me back up a little bit more. So I'm trying to give some context to what we were talking about last night. And I'm saying this for a reason, too. It ties into the whole Watchmen thing and everything, all right? How many people saw Oprah's speech at the Golden Globes? Anybody? Okay. Now, that's another video that was sent out earlier this week. You know, hey, check this out. And especially when it gets to this point, pay attention to what she say after that. You know, because that one, at some point, she was alluding to, after all these years, men been in charge. This is what she's saying. And now there's a new hashtag. We're going to move from hashtag me too. Now hashtag time is up. What's the time up for? Time is up for men to be the rulers and the leaders. What's happening? See, something going on in the world. See? We talked about it last year. You know, this whole, people think about this whole feminist movement, and they think it's about just being equal with men, getting equal pay. No, now the truth about it was revealed. And when I sent out the little excerpt from the Breakfast Club show, that's what it talked about. See, this was one, his name, Charlemagne the God, right? And something he said, I think women are better than men. Really? Now, that's why I said all the stuff I was saying last night. But then one of the women, Angela Yee, she said it like with confidence, like, well, I know women are better. It's like, really? See, it's not about women being equal with men anymore. It's about coming to the realization women are actually better than men. Hold up. Why is that? Where is this coming from? See, why this movement? See, and what people have to understand, the adversary has one point, and I'm kind of rehashing things. My apology if you're hearing that again. But we also learned that's how you get things, repetition. Maybe you didn't quite get it last night. Hopefully you get it at this point. But as the watchman, it's the responsibility to let you know something's coming. How you going to do this? Do this with me real quick. Ghostbusters, 4 men. Not anymore, 4 women. You think that's coincidence? 4 women now. Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13, group of men. Not anymore, Ocean's 8, all women. What's happening? See, these things are not just happening. Well, we got a good movie out there. No, the adversary is playing tricks on the minds of the people. What they're seeing, they're seeing men being replaced by women. That's what's happening here. It's to upset the order, the divine order of the Most High. These men who abuse these women, rape these women, misuse these women should not have done that. They were going against Torah. That's not what he gave the headship for. He told the husband, love your wife. That's what he said. Just like you love yourself. That's what men are supposed to be doing. That's how we're supposed to interact with the women. Not abuse the position that he gave to us of headship. So he moved upon certain men to abuse that. Now we have the rise of something else to take them all out. Why was Wonder Woman the best DC movie that came out up to this point? Think about that. Wonder Woman. What's the message there? That's a that is an island of all women. What's the message there? And see, these are the things. See, manipulation of the human race. When you look at the entertainment industry, all of these things are changing. Removing from man as being a protector. Removing from the days of the action hero, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You see? Sylvester Stallone. Removing from that time. Now we got Angelina Jolie as the heroine. Doing the exact same things that a man would do. You see? We've moved from Indiana Jones to Lara Croft. They do the exact same thing, but what people are not seeing, they're not seeing the adversary play tricks in the minds of the people, men who once did these things, and now being replaced with women. Now, the men who are being put on the forefront, it's not your manly man anymore. It's homosexuality that's being promoted. See? That's what you want to be now. See? So you got all of your celebrities now, you see, walking around and their script. Now, understand the Scots doing, that's a part of their culture, their heritage. That's different. But when these other people who are not Scottish put them on, what you wearing it for? What's the statement you trying to make? You see? Why is the clothing now becoming unisex? Somebody mentioned, I think in one of the texts that came out, Blurred Lines. Why do you think that song came out? Blur. That's what happened. It's blurring the line. They try to remove it. There's no distinction anymore between gender. Now you have gender fluidity. All this stuff plays a part. And see, what the watchman is supposed to do, let the people know what the adversary is up to. That's why these things are happening. He's upsetting the divine order. Now, what's the responsibility of Israel at that point? To maintain it. To maintain that order. But guess what? It crept among us too. Very innocently. See? There's not a place in the Bible that says that a woman shouldn't wear fringes. So where did they get the idea that that's okay? They already moved into the pulpit where the scriptures explicitly say you don't belong there. It explicitly says that. Well, it only says it just that one time. Hold up. If we can't go by the New Testament, what else do we have left? Because that's New Testament that says that. That's after the death and the burial and the resurrection and the ascension of the Savior and Redeemer of man. That's after the fact Paul came to that realization. And he still said, you're supposed to keep this according to what the Torah is saying. But he just said it that one time, so it don't really mean. So it goes to the point. How many times Abba got to tell you stuff? He got to keep telling you over and over. But that's not the only time he said it. He said it more than just the once. See? And then when he says, as also saith the Torah, now we sort of say, well, where did the Torah say that? Well, you go back, Bereshit, chapter 3, and he lays out right there what that woman's role was. Your desire shall be to your husband. That's your desire. That's your role. You were created for that purpose. See, that's not a bad thing, but what the adversary does, he switches things around and make it look like, man, what are you? You're just a man. So he has these, again, these men coming into play. You see? All you're good for is doing the kitchen and cooking and, you know, doing the cleaning and making babies. That's all you're supposed to be doing. Mm-mm. See? And people, they'll jump on that and they'll say, the Bible teach that. The Bible teach that. No, it don't. Read what he says in the Proverbs about the virtuous woman. That ain't what the Bible teach. But because carnality, things that come from within us. Deceit is something that comes from within us. How we know? The brother talked about it. The heart is deceitful, he said. Outside of any influence of demonics, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Look that desperately wicked up. What you find in me, incurable. It's like you have a fatal disease and ain't nothing going to help it. That's the heart. That's just the way we are. Who can know it? So when the Messiah said all this stuff comes from out of you, he also said, we deceive ourselves into thinking these things. Why is it that as human beings, and I'm talking to y'all as people now, when it comes to something that happens to an individual, we all edge when we hear about some bad stuff. And we hold on to the bad stuff. But the good stuff, we kind of let, that's not exciting. See? Why do you think these reality shows are so popular? They're not popular because you just see somebody have an average day. Get up, do your little chores, mess around with the kids, take them off to school, and whatever you do, you just go through that. No, you got to have some drama up in there. That's what's going to keep people watching. You got to have some conflict. Otherwise, who going to keep turning to see somebody live a regular day like you live? Nobody wants to see that. I can just live my own life. But they want to see the drama. See, look at what's happening among these people. Blood bringing was so popular. We didn't want to see them having them talk. We wanted to see the fights. That's what we wanted to see. When they go in the fight, and they had the show set up. Uh-oh, there's the emotions are aroused. It's getting there. It's getting there. Okay, I think they're ready to go. Ring the bell. Ding, ding, ding. Then they just go at it. Why they do that? That's what it was set up for. That's humanity. You see? That's how we are. So as watchmen, Abba, open your heart, open your mind. He reveals these things to you. He reveals these things to the prophets for that reason, so that we can see these things and we can let the people know. That's all. He says, our responsibility is to tell them whether they hear or whether they forbear, right? Isn't that what he say? Tell the people whether they hear, whether they forbear. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 2. Listen to what he says to us, starting in verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Let me read that second verse again. Let me start from verse 1 again. And pay attention to what's happening, because this is a revelation right here. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon my feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. What that tell us? See, in other words, what the Creator wanted to make sure and certain of, I got your attention. He wants our attention. So now go back now and let's make some connections. He says that Abraham, at the translation said, Abraham obeyed the voice of Yahweh, and it was counted for righteousness. But when we look up the word is actually Shema. So Abraham heard the voice of Yahweh. And it was counted to him. In other words, he was attentive. And he, Abba knew, because you're listening, you're going to carry out what it is that I want you to do. So what we see right here, the Spirit entered into him when he spake unto me, set me on my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. He wants us to be attentive. Now, go back for a moment. Watch and pray. See? Communicating with the Creator. He said, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me unto this very day. They are impudent children, stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet know that there has been a prophet among them. That's what Abba said. People may not hear what you say to them. But he says, tell them anyway, because the sword coming. See, one thing that Israel can never say, well, Father, we didn't know. Yes, you did know. You've known for quite some time. That's what the problem was. But you chose not to listen to my servant, the prophet. You chose to raise up prophets and priests among your own choosing. That's what the problem is. And not listen to those whom I've called, whom I've sent. That's what Israel's problem has been up to this very day. They still going through the exact same situation. That's why they're so confused out there. See? That's why different things can creep into the congregation. There's a distinction between the man and the woman. You see? There's a distinction. It's a part of the divine order. Doesn't mean abuse the woman. We're supposed to love the women according to the will of the Creator. See, so as the man, we look at the woman as the assembly, as the church. According to the example that Brother Shaul gave us, he said, just like the Messiah gave his life for the assembly, that's what we as men are supposed to do for the women. See? But when you look at what's happening in the world today, the adversary is changing that in his system. You got men, so much so. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. He says, I'm going to read it from the CEV, Contemporary English Version, and I'm going to read it from the KJV, King James Version. Women must not pretend to be men, and men must not pretend to be women. Yahweh, your mighty one, is disgusted with people who do that. Disgusted. He is disgusted with people who do that. In other words, as men, function in your role as men. And likewise with the woman. You know, see, with the woman, what you want to be obedient to the Most High, then function in your role as a woman, and you are obeying the Creator. Stop trying to step into somebody else's role. And this is what the adversary is doing. So now you got this gender fluidity thing. Who is a man? But for all, and see, what boggles the mind with that, you got people who deny the Bible. They say, you know, if you can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't smell it, taste it, or touch it, it does not exist. So we just deal with what's real, what's reality, right? These are your scientists, okay? Your philosophers, right? Okay. So now, biologically, for all intents and purposes, that individual is a man. He's a man. So how is it that you come to the idea, well, there's a possibility that inside they're a woman? Okay, so take your MRI, do a check. Does he have your ovaries and your fallopian tubes and your uterus and all that good stuff up in there? No, then he's a man. That's on the inside. So if you're not talking about the biological makeup, what are you talking about? His spirit? Scientists? Philosophers? What are you talking about? How is he a female on the inside? You're talking about his mind, that invisible part that you've been denying the whole time. We've been telling you about the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Is that the part you're talking about? You understand? You see how people are? Now they want to say something on the inside is just feminine. No, that's a lie. If you was born biologically a man, that's what you are. Same for the women. See? But they want to play these games with the people. They want to play with your intellect. That's what they're doing. But this is the world we're living in today. See? And what the adversary is doing, again, this world system, purpose, designed to upset the divine order. If that's the case, what is Israel's purpose? What is Israel's purpose? If the purpose of the system we have been placed in is to upset it, what are we supposed to do as his servants? We're supposed to be the examples to the world. Why you think they want to kill us? Hmm? We're not going for that. See, and it's so sad, because even when you look at mainstream Judaism, they are making excuses for it. I heard a rabbi teach it. And I understand the point that he was making. He was making a point like this. Okay, if we're going to say that it's an issue for men to pretend to be women or women to pretend to be men, and the Torah prohibits that as an abomination, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Well, what about when the Torah said you're not supposed to break the Sabbath day? And how are you supposed to be put to death for doing breaking the Sabbath day? Then what are we supposed to do with that? And his idea was, well, if we can't do anything about this part, what do you expect to be done about this part? Which understood that now here comes the grace. And here comes the mercy. Here comes the compassion. We're not saying we're going to stone anybody. We're not saying we're going to take anybody's life from them who are doing these things. But what we will have to do is bring it to their attention. They're out of the will of the Creator. That's it. There's nothing that can change that. People out here doing whatever they want to do on this day, they are outside of the will of the Creator if they break in the Sabbath day. They are. Sabbath was made before there was a Hebrew, Israelite, or a Jew. The Sabbath existed. You see? That's why the Messiah had to come and say, hey, I'm just talking to a brother. The Sabbath was made for Israel, not Israel for the Sabbath. That ain't what he said. He said the Sabbath was made for man. See? Not man for the Sabbath. So if you've got people out here who are breaking or violating the Sabbath day, they are wrong. And guess what? They're going to be judged for that in our time. See, that is what we're not doing anymore. We're not stoning people anymore. We're not hanging people on a tree anymore for their sin. We're being gracious. We're being merciful. We're being compassionate. And we're telling them they're doing wrong, and we're letting them know if you don't change, the sword coming. That's what the responsibility of the watchman is, to let the people know where you've gone in error. And if you may live your life to its fullest and die in your old age, but guess what? You are arising to the sword. That's what you're going to resurrect to. Because when you raise up, you're going to stand before the judgment, and your judgment has been sealed at that point. You see? Because you chose not to do what Abba said to do. Go ahead, Aki.
Even when you read in Ezekiel, you can see the parable of the woman caught in adultery.
Exactly.
Because Yahweh said, I'm going to send a sword on you.
That's right.
I mean, you're sinning, but if you change, you heed my word and my prophet, you are forgiven.
Exactly. And for those who may not have caught that, the brother interjected the parable, well, not the parable, but the actual situation that happened with the Messiah. There was a woman, Israel, caught in adultery. You see? So they had that stone. They was ready to go. But the Messiah didn't disagree with them. You're absolutely right. This woman committed adultery. She deserved to die. He who was out sin cast the first stone. Why he dropped that stone? Because they was guilty. They know if they're going to pick up the stone that woman for committing sin, they too have committed sins worthy of death. Line up, he said. Because you're going to be right in that place behind her. But what they did, they dropped their stones. They went away. And here's the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Where are your accusers? In other words, where is Hashatan? Where he at? See, that's the accuser of the brother. Where he at? He said, I'm not accusing you. She realized they don't have none. So go. That's the grace. Go. But you need to stop committing adultery. No more. That's what he told them. See, and that's the grace, that's the mercy. But what Christianity has said, like we talked about last night, you ain't going to really die. That's a lie. Anybody who come out there mouth and say you under grace and not under the law, meaning that you don't have to keep what the Old Testament said because the Creator did away with it, they are lying to you. Okay? They are telling you, basically, you're not really going to die. Yes, you are. He said that the wages what you earn for committing sin, which the Bible said is transgressing his teaching, his Torah. If you go against what he has laid out in his teaching, you are sinning. And if you are sinning, that is what's going to bring the death. The soul, Ezekiel said, that sins, it shall die. Missing that mark. See, what the Torah does with the teaching or the instruction, it lets you know what the mark is right there. That's the mark. And I've given you specific instructions on what you need to do to meet the mark. That's why the Creator said to be holy, as I'm holy. So I gave you teaching, and if you keep these teachings, for example, like today, when you take time out of your busy schedule and say, one day I'm not going to do what I want to do, I'm going to do what the Creator wants me to do, guess what? You just made yourself holy. You have become united with the presence of this holy day. It's holy because Abba said that it's holy. Man cannot undo that, can't change that. There's no other day where he stopped what he was doing. There's no other day where he said, I'm going to bless it. There's no other day that he said, I'm going to sanctify it. There's no other day. It has to be this day. If you keep it any other day, you are guilty of violating the Sabbath day. You are sinning. You are transgressing his teachings. That means you're worthy of death. That's what he means. If you don't want that penalty, you accept the sacrifice that was made for you. And now you stop breaking the Sabbath day. That's how you do that. You start maintaining the sanctity and the holiness of the day. That's how you do that. But back to this, he says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto Yahweh, your mighty one. And we took an opportunity when we were away, and we looked at that. And we looked up the word for wear. One of the points that one of the brothers brought to the table, the word is hayah, hayah. Now, the word, it doesn't just mean wear. It means to exist. In other words, the woman shall not exist. And then it says, that which pertaineth. What is that? That word is keli. It means something prepared. Something prepared. The woman should not exist with something prepared unto a man. Part about that, when he says the woman, the word for woman is isha, right? Now, what's the opposite of isha? Ish. You have the woman, isha, and you have the man, ish. Well, he didn't use that term here. He used another term. He said geber. Now, the word geber, number 1397, it says properly a valiant man or a warrior. So people, they get the idea, oh, he's talking about a woman can't put on the garb of a soldier. Okay? So now what we got to do, we got to look at the Torah. And we got to see how this term is used. So we see it used in Exodus chapter 10, verse 11. He says, not so. Go now, ye men, and serve Yahweh, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So he's talking to Moshe and the men, right? He didn't say ish. He's referring to them as geber. In other words, he's referring to them as valiant men, strong men, men of authority. That's what he's saying. That's the first time that you see it in the Torah. It's used in Exodus 12:37. And the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Sukkot, about 600,000 on foot, men besides children. So when he says men, he didn't say Ish, he didn't even say Adam. He said Geber. In other words, these were valiant men. They not soldiers. At this point, Israel had yet to form an army. They don't form an army till they got into the wilderness. Numbers 24:3. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. He didn't say Ish, he didn't say Adam. He said, Geber, a valiant man. He's not a soldier. He's a prophet, albeit a false prophet. But I'm just using that to show you that the term Geber does not just mean a soldier. So when the term is used for just an average old man, what does the word mean? And how is it that a woman exists in something prepared for a valiant man? But was prepared for that valiant man. And then to offset that, he goes on to say, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. What's a woman's garment? Now let's look at the word for garment there. 8071, right? 8071. So the first place you find that used, Numbers 9:23. And Shem and Yefet took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. So that's just, they just took, when they say took a garment, it's talking about, that's what it's talking about. Okay? So is that, it's not even a particular word that's used strictly for women. So let's see, that's one place. Another place you find that term used. Genesis 35:2. When Jacob said unto his household and to all with that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. He's talking to the whole household. Your men and your women. Okay? So what we're seeing right now, it's a general term. Let's go to Genesis 37:34. It says, and Jacob rent his clothes. That's the same word translated as clothes. But it says this word is similar. It's something that Jacob had on. So we just took that little track right there in the Holy Scripture to see that when he said not wear a woman's garment, whatever that word was, this is not even a term that's used particularly for women. So now, Bible students, we got to find out what's the woman's garment that the men ain't supposed to wear. We can't say it's similar because Jacob had on similar. We can't say it's kept to net because we see that even though that was the tunic for the priest, that Joseph also had the long tunic made specifically for him by his father. We also find out that the daughters of the virgin daughters of kings also wore the long garment. So it can't be that one. So what is the garment that's supposed to be for the women? What's the garment that's supposed to be for the men? What is it that a woman would put on to exist and something prepared for a man? And not just an average old man, a man of authority. What is that? And I'm not even going to give or suggest anything, but these are questions we got to ask ourselves. What is it? Talking about the watchman. See, whether you hear it, whether you forbear it, you're told these things. Now, if you're having some issues accepting these things, it's because maybe that spirit of femininity has risen up. Maybe. I remember somebody was talking about this on one of the old presentations on broadcast on the on a YouTube. And I think it was a sister who responded and said, that was a good teaching, brother, but I'm going to wear my fringes anyway. Hey, guess what? That's between you and the Creator. My job done. He said, just to tell them, whether they hear, whether they forbear, that's the duty of a watchman, to tell you these things. That's all. And not everybody going to accept it. Hold up. You don't believe that? The word manifest in flesh walked among people, and guess what? They ain't even listen to him. God in the flesh came down among them. And they had the nerve to go back and forth with the very same word he inspired. That's humanity. See? That's what we're dealing with. You know? So one of the things that the Creator helped me to get over, because that was a part of me that felt, especially when I was young, had that zeal, I felt if I show you this in the Bible, you should believe it. Not knowing, not understanding that the adversary already had doctrine prepared to combat the truth of the word. He already had doctrine prepared for that. But I was young, zealous, and, you know, didn't know. But one of the things he helped me to understand was this. It ain't you that they rejecting, brother. They rejected me. So look at my son. The very manifestation. What can you say to this? This is the same entity to the whole nation of Israel from the top of Mount Sinai. Decided to leave his glory, put on flesh, walk down here among his creation, and listen to this. Listen to him. Just step back for a minute. Listen to some of the story. And they're going back and forth. See, they don't realize it. They're going back and forth with him, and he the one that told Moses to write that. He the one that told Joshua to write that. He the one that told all these prophets to speak, all these words that they spoke, and they got the nerve to go back and forth with the author of the book. And you got some issues because they ain't believing what you say? Huh? That's the reality. That's what we're dealing with. It ain't about us. We speak his word, whether they hear, whether they forbear. If it's rejected, what the Messiah say? He that receives me, you receive him that sent me. He that rejects me, you reject him that... Same thing. It ain't me, you're rejecting. It's the Creator. You can take it or leave it, you know. But see, as watchmen, going back to that, watch and pray that ye not be led into temptation. See, a lot of the temptations are what we lust for in our flesh. Who are we today? We are the experiences that we've been through. What have these experiences shaped and molded you into? Who are you as an individual? When it's just you, nobody else around, who are you as an individual? Because see, that's the person that the Creator is going to see. He's not going to see the person who put on a charade when he get around believers. He ain't going to see that person. He's going to look underneath that. He's looking at your heart and your soul. That's what he's looking at. So that's why the Messiah wanted to make it a point. Stop focusing on all these outward things that defile you. Get your heart right. Get your mind right. That's his point. Stop focusing on just looking good. Looking the part. He don't want you to look the part. He wants you to be, exist the part. Every fiber of your being, this Torah. That's what he wants to happen. Not just to look good in front of everybody. So who are we? This is a question as individuals we need to ask ourselves. Who are we? When you get right down to it, who are we? So that being said, I'm going to stop for today. But the watchman, our first responsibility to watch and pray is as an individual. We have to be alert to make sure that we're not getting caught up in the adversary's traps. And we stay in communication with the Creator so that he gives us the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding to avoid these traps. Okay? How we also stay awake, we make sure that we are doing what we're supposed to do. What you know, let me say this, because sometimes people try to put too much on themselves. At this very moment, what you know and understand to do as far as living your life, do that. And as you learn different things, new things, then you start practicing, incorporating those into your life. That's what you do. What you know, you trust and believe to do, live your life according to that. Now, for some of us, we also have the responsibility of being the watchers, see, to make sure that nothing affects the group. It could be the watchman of your home as the father, to be the one making sure that everything in the household is right. You need to make sure that it is secure. See? That's your responsibility as the head of the household, to be the watcher. In addition to watching your life, your responsibility is that woman, and if you have kids, those kids. If he has called you to be a prophet or a priest, then you have the responsibility of being a watchman for the congregation to make sure that everything's going okay with the members, okay? That means you got to be observant. You got to see when somebody has that look, that something's going on with them. Sometimes people, because of that pride and because of what they're going through, they don't have the strength to come and say, I got some issues. So as a watchman, we're supposed to be able to see that. And we pray that Abba open our heart and our mind so that we are able to see that. Because sometimes we may have to go to that individual. See? Just like he came to us. See? He came to us. How many of y'all think y'all here because of your own intellect? It ain't because of nothing you know. If it wasn't for the Creator introducing himself to you, you'd still be out there. We would still be out there doing whatever it is that we was out there. And we don't even know that we would have even lived to this point, depending on what you was doing. But he introduced himself to you. And you just so happened to let him in. So you heard that knock. You ain't treat him like a Jehovah's Witness. Cut the lights out. Quiet. You ain't treat him that way. You looked through, you saw who it was, and you opened it, and you willfully let him in. That's why you're where you are today. Because he introduced himself to you, and you accept it. Okay? So, questions, comments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Are you Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous? Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hashem Yahshua HaMashiach, gracious and merciful Father. Once again, we thank you for the words of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that you have bestowed upon us this day. We pray that you engrave them upon our hearts, upon our minds, that they become a part of our being, Heavenly Father. Strengthen us, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, that we may all be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Heavenly Father. Help us to be the people, the men and the women that you desire us to be, that we all walk according to your divine will. Heavenly Father, when we go astray to the right or to the left, through thy loving kindness, we beseech thee, Heavenly Father, to send forth your divine correction and chastisement. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are ailing, that you help them, Heavenly Father, to experience the comfort and the joy of your holy day. Continue to lead them, continue to guide them, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are gathered together in other places in honor of your holy Sabbath day, that we all be blessed with the knowledge and the wisdom of your word, as you shall deliver by those whom you have called to teach, Heavenly Father. We pray for the teacher today, your Moray, that you uplift his heart, his mind, and you lead him and you guide him and you speak to him the words that are necessary for us to hear. We humbly and we sincerely ask these things, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King, Mashiach Yahushua. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Give your name the highest praise today. So we say hi. Because you're worthy.